It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, here in Declare Your Independence, they are afraid of us because we're not afraid. Well, you know, let's take a look and see what happens. The FBI is launching mass raids of anti-war activists' homes. The FBI is confirming, and this is from antiwar.com, the FBI is confirming that this morning they began a number of raids against the homes of anti-war activists, claiming that they are seeking evidence relating to activities concerning the material support of terrorism. So far, there do not appear to have been any arrests related to the raids, nor, according to FBI spokesman Steve Warfield, are there any expected. He also insisted that there was no imminent threat related to the anti-war organizations targeted. They just wanted to go look. And this is how it goes. Check this out. This is their reasoning. The warrant against anti-war activist Mick Kelly's home, I don't even know who that is, cited efforts to look into his ability to pay for his own travel to Palestine and Colombia, and appeared to have been little more than a fishing expedition looking for possible links to foreign terrorist organizations, including but not limited to blah, 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 and blah. You know, this is it's Patriot Act stuff, you know. And I remember when there were some, the FBI was looking into what you read. And I remember, you ever remember that movie with Brad Pitt and I think it was Morgan Freeman called Seven, you know, with Kevin Spacey? It was a good movie. It's disturbing, but it was a good movie. And in there, they made a big deal. One of the breaks that they got in the case is they went around and they started to figure out, you know, kind of the message of this serial killer was doing is that he was copying some different, different books and concepts and so on. He goes, yeah, if we go to the main library here and we do a research, I bet people that checked out all these books kind of stuff will create a list and that'll be our guy. And they go, oh, that's uber secret. We're not supposed to be able to do that. And they went through a big thing, how they got to hide this and that they didn't do it. And they got it from their buddy at the FBI and so on. And this was like, oh, no, you're not allowed to do this. It's bad and everything. But they do it anyway. And they got it. Now that's all legal. In fact, you're not allowed to even tell anyone that they're looking. That's a crime. And there were two librarians, I think it was Vermont, you know, these 70-something-year-old women. They go, what? And it turns to this one woman and says, look what they want to do. No, we're not going to. Oh, the fact they even told the woman standing next to her, boom, you're both under arrest. This is they want to have this secret police thing, this Stasi, this Gestapo, this KGB. I mean, and proud of it. So they created this Patriot Act thing in the name of whatever so they can just go around and look. Heck, they can do it for months and not even tell you that they did it. Or have to go and get a warrant from anybody that they did. This is bad. So, anti-war? Do you guys think that there's going to be a backlash against the movement? Has that really stifled a lot of the anti-war, do you think?
I think a lot of the feds, the government definitely has an incentive to paint, you know, the folks that are...
For peace.
Right. The folks that cause it the most trouble, which are those who question its authority, those who question what it's doing, it has an incentive to keep them quiet. And, you know, you look historically at not just the U.S. government and programs like COINTELPRO that they had when they investigated groups such as anti-war groups and other groups that weren't too happy of the government programs. But, I mean, governments do this historically, and it's not... I don't know if the people involved necessarily say my goal, 20 years ago when I took this job was to get was to grow this agency to be like a Stasi or whatever, an SS type group, but it's the incentives of the program itself. It's the incentives, like there's no check, there's no competition, so they just hire more folks and they have more laws to enforce, and that's how they operate.
I'm not seeing that there's going to be a change or an altering of their techniques here. This is, we get the Republicans coming out with their contract on America again or something. We have part two. We have the a lot of efforts to try and convince us that they're what? I don't see it doesn't say anything about anti-war. It's more war. It doesn't say anything. They start talking about balanced budgets, and I'm going, they don't say anything about, you know, departments of government they're going to eliminate. You know, so that means more taxes. It doesn't say anything about, you know, fiscal restraint in any way other than, I don't know, we're going to cut something. And I'm going, you know, is that what's going to happen when you got Obama as the president? Is there any meaningful thing that's going to be done without a veto? Are they going to have enough votes to override a veto? Are they going to? It's just campaigning, and it's just a few weeks before the general election. So now we're looking forward to more wars, I think, and certainly more threats of wars. At what point do you guys just disengage? You start going, "Hey, man, raising chickens." I mean, when is that?
Well, I mean, I think I'm already there disengaging. Like, forget the system. I mean, I work it, win it. You know, if I'm trying to highlight its violence, or when forced to, you know, by death threats, essentially, because everything the state does is backed by the, you know, the threat of your life. I mean, they'll leave you in a cage until it's over. They will end it. I mean, go to copblock.org. I mean, look at how many officers out there these days are, you know, just super heavy-handed. Look at some of the protests and stuff with the technology and the gear they come out with. I mean, it's an all-out battle, but like I said, it doesn't need to be violent. It doesn't have to go the way a lot of people predict to go. If you could just, you know, how do they pay for all this stuff? How does the government get all this money? Well, it's through things that we say that they can have. You know, our labor and our livelihood is how these governments maintain themselves. And if we just stop granting them that authority and that privilege of having 40% of our incomes and being so embedded in our lives, then they will cease to exist. It'll end.
You know, there's going to be, certainly as we build up into 2012, they're going to have, and it's going to be Sarah Palin. It's going to be Newt Gingrich keeps yakking he's going to come in. Mitt Romney is definitely wants to run again. It's going to be whatever. And then, of course, they have Ron Paul there. I'm wondering, do you think that the Tea Party movement will start to include Ron Paul in the debate or even embrace his campaign? Is that possible?
I am sure there'll be some sort of theatrics, you know. Rand Paul, getting endorsed by Sarah Palin, you know, was just to tap that demographic. I mean, they always have their chess pieces and they're always moving around the board. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't care. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they say. I don't care how many words they write down on a piece of paper. I don't care how much money they say I owe them. You know, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not harming anybody. I'm taking care of, you know, the things that I need to in life. And, you know, my body, my choice, you know, my money, my choice. You know, I vote every single day, not once every 4 years or every 2 years. Every single day, I with my mind, my wallet, my feet, on where I eat, where I sleep, where I shop. These are peaceful ways to control people.
And where are you going to advocate that and have the most effect? I'll give you an example. I went and I was speaking in, I think it was Jackson or something. It was southwestern Mississippi. And it was close to New Orleans, where they had the night before. No, it was the same night, that Saturday night. I was speaking at the same time that Dr. Paul was speaking at the Southern Conservative, blah, 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 New Orleans, whatever it was. And it was this last spring. So a lot of the guys, you know, the young people, the Campaign for Liberty, the students, organizations, and so on, it was at a Libertarian state convention in Mississippi. Well, a lot of those guys had left and went to that, and they got later that night when we were partying at the, you know, the House de la near the college thing, they all flooded in. Hey, man, yo, we did that. And they told me all the stuff that was going on. What happened is they tried to stop them from coming in. They said, oh, you got to go register up on the third floor. Oh, no, it's not here. It's down the floor. Oh, you got to go. And then 13 minutes after the day, oh, I'm sorry, you missed it. And they just, you know, they're out there protest, 60 of them. 60 people, young men and women just going crazy. They go, let them go, let them. And they got to walk into the room right as Dr. Paul was getting up on the stage. So, of course, they're woo-hooing it and, you know, whatever. And Dr. Paul blew them away and kicked their butt and everything. Well, Mitt Romney didn't show up because he knew, man, I take a loss there. I don't blow him away, you know, heavy on this one. It's not going to look too good for me in 2012. Well, Dr. Paul, I think they said they tied, you know, 300 and something to 300. It was within one or two votes. Oh, Mitt beat him by one vote or something like that. It was some stupid thing. But the point was, is that a good place to advocate for this kind of stuff? And they thought so. I mean, they enjoyed themselves. They had a good time. So as these opportunities come up again, you know, are you guys going to be there? And then would you be welcome by the Ron Paul campaign if you're not, if you're advocating for individual liberty, but not the way they are advocating it? When we come back, we'll talk about that. Will there be a rift? Will there be a break? Will there be a line between what's known as, I don't know, advocating for liberty?
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Oh, yeah, and he's coming around. And we have Liberty on Tour with Adam Miller and Pete Ayer, and they have personal firsthand experience of. There's always the man coming around. In fact, they count on it. They have videotaping of the videotaping of the videotaping of them doing that very thing. And there's, you know, so much of this going on. And what I want to do is I want to talk about the using of these gatherings that's going to start coming up in the next election cycle. And I know what it's going to be all centered around. I mean, it's already started right now, this call for an amendments convention to the Constitution, not a constitutional convention, an amendments convention to the Constitution. Same thing. So they are going to be advocating for that. We're going to fix it. Give us the power. Give me, give me, give me, and we'll fix it. Can I finish? Can I finish? Then they have I'll promise with America thing that's going on. So bless you. So I want to play this part of John Stewart, and I don't know how it will translate in the audio, but it really makes a good point. And let's go ahead and share this with you. I think you'll get something out of it.
A year and a half ago, the Republican Party was reeling, still picking shrapnel out from the can of whoop-ass that had been opened up on them in the 2008 elections. It was time for some self-reflection.
There's no question this has been a challenging time for the GOP.
It's time for new faces, new leadership to lead our party.
We're bringing new ideas.
You'll see a lot of effort on our part to be the party of new ideas.
New ideas. Everything is on the table. Spitballing here. How about something like this? We got a black guy, too. You know, we're just spitballing here. So the search for new ideas began in Northern Virginia, in a well-respected think tank slash pizza place called Pitanzas. Of course, pie for pizza pie and Tanza for owner Tony Tanza. I don't know. But that was just the start. The Republicans held town hall meetings. They spoke to their constituents. They took donors to Hollywood lesbian bondage clubs. They even started their own website.
AmericaSpeakingOut.com, that's a website that the Republicans are using in the House of Representatives to try to get your ideas.
Because seriously, they had nothing. They had nothing. They were completely out of ideas. Well, now, it's nearly 2 years later, crucial midterm elections around the corner, and House Republicans poised with a real chance to win huge. So they're ready to unveil the fruits of their labor. I give you 2010, Republican pledge to Pitanza, I mean America. Enjoy.
We pledge to honor our families, traditional marriage and life.
Real tort reform.
Don't spend more than you take in.
Stop out-of-control spending.
Support our troops, fight the terrorists, stand by our friends, and protect our citizens.
Whoa! Who are these fresh-faced young guns and their bold new idea? Wait a minute, that's the same we heard before. I think your fresh new ideas sound, if I'm not mistaken, your fresh new ideas sound slightly like, I'm sorry, did I say slightly? Exactly like your old ideas.
Rein in the Washington, D.C. red tape.
Cut Washington red tape.
Act immediately to reduce spending.
Have real reforms to reduce.
Okay, now I'm going to explain what he's doing here. He's going, they'll say one thing, and it's, a couple days ago. Then before, they're going back to Newt Gingrich 1998, Newt Gingrich 94. I mean, it's going back and forth, back and forth. Sometimes it's even the same guy saying exactly the same thing. It's just years apart. It just hurts.
It's so, politics. That's what it is.
It's craziness. So I'm going to go ahead and play it, and hopefully you'll get something out of it.
Spending.
Change the way we do business in Washington.
Change business as usual in Washington.
Make the tax cuts permanent.
Make the existing tax cuts permanent.
Health savings accounts that puts the patient firmly in control.
Health savings accounts, which will give families more control.
Reduce the size of our government.
Reducing the size of government.
A smaller, less costly.
Less costly.
And more accountable.
And more accountable government
in our nation's capital.
Wow.
I don't know what to say. This thing's not even a sequel. It's like a shot-by-shot remake of your... I thought the pledge was you were humbled and going to come back with fresh new ideas. Wasn't that the pledge?
And the point we make in this preamble to our pledge,
John Boehner,
is that we are not going to be any different than what we've been.
I believe that is a promise you can keep. So 2 years ago, just to get this straight, 2 years ago, America broke up with you because you had badly mistreated her. And so you disappear, do some soul searching, get your head together, and you come back rapping on our door, hat in hand, and you say, baby, I know you left me. But if we get back together, I pledge to you, I promise you, I will still try to your sister every chance I get. It's who I am, baby. It's who I am. Now, make up your mind, because I'm not going to ask you twice.
Yeah, that's pretty much, hopefully, yeah, they beeped out the right stuff. But, the point is that he's making is that they're coming back with the same thing. They're not even changing their rhetoric. It's the same.
It's not like either there's it's all the same from Democrat to Republican too, so it's not even.
Oh yeah,
the same
don't don't think I'm giving the Democrats a pass on this thing. They're all the same. You get high enough up on the left and the right side of the pyramid, at the top you got the all seeing whatever controlling both sides. It's the same, the same, the same, the same, the same. So I'm asking the younger generation here. I go to you guys and I just say, you're just at the age that you'd start a family. You would like to be able to, I'm going to plant roots somewhere. I'm going to meet the person of my dreams. I'm going to, perpetuate the next generation and bring, new life to whatever. Because I always thought, look, it's not me they got to worry about. It's my kids. I'm going to raise libertarians. And then they're going to raise libertarians. And that's what's going on. And I tell you, how do you rebel against, Angela Keaton from antiwar.com, she said it really good. She had libertarian parents. She's like, how do you rebel against that?
Right.
What are you going to do? Go be conservative or something? Which maybe, what she's trying to do. But I'm looking at, where do you guys go? I mean, how do you plan the rest of your life in this environment?
There is really no plan. I don't think anybody can plan their life, even if, they believe in the political system. It's, I think, what I've learned is you just work hard, try to be a good person, and when you have to make a decision, hopefully you have a lot of opportunities from which to choose from. And I think Adam and I together, we were a great team. We work well together. We communicate well. And, you know, he has a lot of his own ideas. I have some of my own ideas. And, you know, maybe we'll continue to work together in the future. I hope so. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But ideally, we'll be taking our scarce resources, our time and talent, and allocating them to outlets that we think have the greatest potential to advance this voluntary society.
Yeah, for me, you know, like I said, I'm 28, so I'm still young enough. I mean, you know, someday maybe the kids thing will come into my mind, but I don't see that happening. So I got a few more years, and I figure the best use of my time is riding around in MARV, the Mobile Authority Resistance Vehicle, and just trying to show people the violence within the system. You know, at some point, I'll settle in New Hampshire, where the Free State Project goes on, where 20,000 other liberty-minded activists or more are looking to move and live my life. So hopefully I'll find some of that peace and quiet out in the White Mountains.
Yeah, I don't think I forgot. We'll go ahead and talk about what I wanted to is, but I want to get that segment in. We're going to talk about using the gatherings that's going to be coming up in this next election cycle. Do you? Will that be the last time? Is there a last time before you start, you know, sustaining yourself on the lone prairie of, you know, and get some chick, 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 kids? We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Stop me, cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity.
And every other like in them. Yeah, I'll get away with it, I guess. You know, that don't mean, you know, do I even pay attention? You know, that's one of the things. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. I mean, that was a phrase when I was your age, even younger, that they were just that I got hammered with that. You know, ignorance of the law is no excuse. I'm like, man, I don't have a lifetime to know all the law. You know, are you kidding me? Let me tell you what the law is. Thou shalt not aggress. You know, it doesn't get more complicated than that. They want to make it more complicated. Those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. If you can just distill it down to that, I don't know, pretty much covers everything. You know, I just want to be left alone. Well, if you're going to advocate for that, you know, there's still a lot of work that can be done freeing a lot of minds, which is the one thing that I always wanted to make sure Dr. Paul understood what my motivation was. If you're going to have, you know, someone out there advocating, you know, starting this Ron Paul revolution thing, it's good to know that you're dealing with, you know, something you can understand. I mean, we've known each other before. He's spoken at the Freedom Summits before. He's done that three times and so on. So we're not friends, really. I mean, we're acquaintances. We know each other. We trust each other. We respect each other. I mean, but there's not really, you know, a relationship there other than just mutual respect. But I hope, you know, it's mutual. But, you know, I just go, look, I just want to make sure you keep doing what you're doing because I'm definitely not going to be doing that. I'm not going to play inside, certainly not the Republican Party. Heck, I make fun of the Libertarian Party every chance I get, you know. Heck, even run for national chair is just to make fun of them. So the thing is that I'm going, look, I see your message as something that can be exploited, which was my goal from the beginning, can be exploited into freeing a boatload of minds. Once you learn the truth, how do you forget it? How do you unlearn the truth? And you build on top of that. And with the internet, which is one thing that Ron did not understand. He was not internet. He knew you could go up there and do it. But a lot of this social networking and so on was a result of the 08 campaign. It certainly made Meetup famous. You know, I mean, this is boom, a boom. Smartphones, cameras being used quick, all this. Man, they became activist tools. I don't think they realized just how you guys are going to be doing it. It shocked me. I mean, I was like, wow, man, that's cool. So now we're looking in, we're going into the next phase here with not only new tools, but with an awareness of the tools, a use of the tools. I remember my first YouTube was a Ron Paul Revolution YouTube, my first one. I learned how to do it just to get up what we were doing here. The very first Ron Paul Revolution YouTube was done by a guy named Dave Gallagher that has RonPaulRevolution.com. And we were building our first workshop. He put that up. It went stupid, man. I mean, boom. And then they saw the Ron Paul Revolution signs at the South Carolina debate. That's when it really launched. Everybody, oh, I want one of them. But we were ready. RonPaulRevolution.com was not about anything. It wasn't like Daily Paul. This is why, you know, go support. This is what's going on. No, it didn't have anything to do with policy. It was all, this is how to make signs. Here's the font. Here's the material. This is what we're doing. This is how. It had nothing to do with policy. It was just, look, you want to go advocate? Here it is. Go. That's what we were about. So now we're looking at, there are going to be tea parties. There's going to be all kinds of rallies, the troops for, you know, fill in the blank, whatever coming up. I don't know how they're going to get the energy that they did with the revolution and try and control it. I don't understand. I don't even understand that mechanism. I don't think there is one. I don't know. They're going to find out. I think they found out with C4L. You know, they found out it kind of just kind of waned away. You know, I'm not even sure if they cared. I don't know what their game plan is. But when they do have these big events that they're going to try and create, they're going to have another rally for the Republic, you know, kind of what they did in Minneapolis-St. Paul alongside the Republican National Convention. If they can get something like that again, would you guys be there sharing some information with somebody?
I mean, I think it's definitely an outlet or an area where there's people who are looking for these ideas or asking questions about the government. So those are definitely target areas you'd want to hit. I'm not going to be advocating the use of politics or the initiation of force, but I'll definitely try to advocate that, hey, you know, even Ron Paul is good on these things, but if you take it to its logical conclusion and broaden it, complete liberty is more in this area.
Do you think you'll be welcome? I mean, think about it. You know, you have the tea parties. That Ron Paul guy is the ones that kind of started this thing anyway. You know, you go there and you're holding up the Ron Paul and this and that and everything. And they can shout you down, come stand in front of you, wave the flag, shout, chant USA or whatever they're going to do. They don't know. Oh, they didn't want the Ron Paul guys out there. So now you're going to have Ron Paul. They start to kind of segue their way into an alliance with the Tea Party kind of stuff like we've seen with Rand Paul, his son, doing. And you show up with this kind of free state project, free keen, you know, agorist, voluntarist, anarchist, whateverist, you know, saying we're just want none, and you're passing out stuff there. Do you think you'd have the Ron Paul campaign going, oh, no, 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 no?
I think the, you know, the hierarchy, the official structure, sure, they may see it as some, you know, we may siphon away some of the best activists and some of the best minds of that movement, but I think of the activists on the ground, they would welcome us. I've never felt, you know, unwelcome when I hang out with that crew. And, you know, most of them appreciate, you know, they've only recently been exposed to the ideas in most cases. And they have this thirst, this affinity for the ideas of liberty. And if we can help provide them with tools and resources that they can continue their journey, I think they'd be appreciative. I know I would.
Yeah, I think something that the anarchist voluntarists are really good at, especially the ones I know and several that are here in Phoenix, is their calm, cool, collected demeanor. When you see somebody getting a shouting match like we did while doing Motorhome Diaries at the tea party on April 15th, the guy is standing in front of his sign, no, you know, Obama or Bush was the best 8 years of my life, and da da da. You're acting like a child. I mean, if your ideas are that sound and great, let's have a constructive conversation. And I think anybody that does that would learn that the anarchist or voluntarist idea trumps all, because we're not saying that, like, no government or whatever. If you guys want to voluntarily live in one area and buy up all that property and have your Congress and your president, that's great. Just stop sending your men with guns after me to take my money and pay for things I don't support. You know, essentially the government sends me a tax bill every year with all these things that I don't get to say yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. It's just pay this, you know, and if I had control of that, you know, I would allocate my money a lot differently.
I'm, you know, I don't know if I'm as optimistic or pessimistic. I just don't know. You know, my experience has been that whenever the guy that's in charge, the guy that was, you know, got paid to put on the gig, you know, they're expected to control the flavor of the gig, especially if they're in association with some other big boys that got the bucks that are connected in with Fox News or something. Because it was just, I brought this up. I could see it happen when they did the big rally, tax, tea party, whatever it was in Washington, D.C., and you had, you know, what was it, 1-2 million people there. I mean, it was stupid. But only about 5% of the people could even hear what was being said on the stage. You got Clear Channel and Fox News get the permit, and they say, yep, look at all these people here. You know, we're not going to tell you what their signs are, except the ones that we want you to see, and we'll tell you what they want. You know, watch Fox News, and we'll tell you. Well, any of us that knew people that were there, we knew what was going on. you know, the message of what the people, that many people went there to express, was nothing of what they were really showing them.
Sure, and what people need to understand, if you look at what's the cause of that problem, okay, well, to get a TV show or to have a news station, you got to jump through all these government regulations and hoops, FCC, et cetera, et cetera. And so you don't have the competition. The market of media is lack of competition, except for, you know, that's where the blogging and the internet came in, and it's really flipped that upside down and starting to take it. That's why you see newspapers going out of business. That's why people don't mention or they give a lot of discredit to the lamestream media.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard of this story, Ernie, but in Philly, the city government was wanting to tax bloggers who earned any income from their site. So you have a 15-year-old kid who's got Google AdSense on his personal blog, and he, you know, maybe makes 32 cents or something, and the city wants a cut of that, and they ostensibly were doing it just to go after one person who I think was critical of the government there and was getting, you know, some page views and stuff. But you know, we heard some sound bites from the elected reps there. They're like, oh well, you know, we have to do this. They're in the income, and they're within the jurisdiction of Philadelphia. And you know, you have people arguing on the proper amounts or whether it's fair or not. And it's as we've heard some folks say, Doug Stanhope, I think, start the argument where it begins, and that's at government. And they don't have people who work for the government don't have any more rights than do you or I. And so what they're doing is theft.
I'm kind of surprised that the internet has been as free as it is for as long as it has been. I mean, it hasn't really been that long. The first time that you had any kind of really national recognition of the power of the internet was in the 2004 primary with Howard Dean. And during that, I don't know if you guys remember that, but, you know, when they started, you know, doing a little fundraising kind of on the internet, whoa, what the heck is this? They really are so arrogant that they believe that they control the minds of the American people through their, I don't know, their fish wraps that they got laying around. And the, like you say, the federal licensing of radio and television. So I'm just going, you know, I'm kind of surprised it's lasted as long as it has. But I think here it comes. It depends what this next generation is going to do about it, though. That's one thing we'll talk about when we come back. The internet. Is it going to remain free or not? We're prepping.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
In constant sorrow till the end, I am the man of constant sorrow.
Yeah, you guys gotta sing, man. Yeah,
I don't know the words. I love this movie, though.
I know. This is it. It was from Brother, Where Art Thou with George Clooney. Yeah. And I thought it was so, I mean, we're always talking about gloom and doom, and I'm like, oh, it's constant sorrow. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to be constant, but yeah, what the heck, we're always having some fun. You know, the thing is I just want to make sure the audience knows that there is a very important and powerful contingent of people that are not represented at the ballot box, even if they voted. I don't trust the system. I mean, those that listen to this show know I've run for Secretary of State in 94 and 06. I studied it. 44 election laws, challenged all the way to the Ninth Circuit as my own attorney went through. Man, don't even start with me. You know, matter of fact, I got an email from Bev Harris from Black Box Voting. They're finding all kinds of stuff going on. And I think it's Memphis she's at now. And we'll have her on hopefully next week and talk about all the stuff they found. We're in lawsuit right now here in Maricopa County. Libertarian Party here. The Democrats are working with. We're going, it's bad, 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 bad. Documentaries done constantly. We don't think we know. We know. So what do you do? Is there a voice that these people have? That's what I understood was going to happen. It's with these signs. All of a sudden, every freaking overpass across the country at one time or another had a sign on it saying, hello, this is what I think about fill in the blank. When they do that, I am of the opinion that this blindsided the bad guys. They did not see this coming. When Dr. Paul was able to make in the Fed a chant, Heck, I don't even care about ending them. Just, you know, just legalize competition, you know, and problem solved, you know. But the thing is that that whole rhetoric, that issue, all of a sudden for never, never was that ever, certainly not a presidential issue. It's always a conspiracy, you know, John Birchie kind of whatever issue. All of a sudden now, you know, it's like number one issue. It's front page. It's understand. It's front of mind. And you have another generation coming up going, I get it. It's all about federalism. It's all about central. It's all about the money. That's what it's about. And the control thereof. So if that can be made an issue from out of the freaking blue in this last presidential election cycle, what might be the issue for this presidential election cycle? What do you think the issue might be or should be?
Well, I think it's going to be the same things. I mean, unfortunately, like, I mean, you pulled up the clip before. It's the same old with them. I mean, we have this skit that we're doing with Liberty on Tour where I dress up in Uncle Sam costume and PETA has been recently being my bodyguard in a suit. And, you know, I like to say to people when I'm wearing that, doesn't matter who you vote for, I always win because the man always gets in. I'm not about the whole New World Order or Bilderberg Group stuff that's controlling the world, but the nature of government is to grow by control. Its nature is to be backed by violence, and its way of achieving things is by violence. And all those things are proven. And, you know, so, again, we can't expect anything different. The system is going to go. It's a big balloon. It's huffing and puffing. We're just so happen to be fortunate to live in a time frame where it's most likely going to pop.
Well, is there another side? Pete, let me get your perspective. You know, the guys in the Beltway, what do they fear more than anything else? Being, I don't know, videotaped? I mean, I don't know. What are they worried about?
I mean, I just think, you know, folks like the comfort. They like the stability of having, you know, their jobs themselves, and, you know, a lot of them may be scared of change, maybe scared of allowing folks to have complete freedom. I mean, if you're talking about the guys in the Beltway that are in the political system already, I mean, sure, what we're advocating questions their careers, it questions their status quo. But
their existence.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, other folks in the Beltway that purport to advance these ideas of liberty, I mean, there's, in D.C. especially, there's this false relationship between false marriage between libertarians and conservatives, and it's ridiculous. And, you know, I've gone to some meetings and I've told people, like, what drove you to come to D.C. in the first place? And a lot of the folks, just like myself, are young, idealistic people, and we thought we could make a difference. And I encourage everybody to go home and think about, like, what they're actually doing. And a lot of them are spending their waking hours, you know, ironing out minutia on some legislation or doing some other stuff that in the end doesn't matter, and it only helps support the legitimacy of the state. So, you know, I don't know. I guess back to the broader questions we've been having, I would hope that we can find where these ideas of complete liberty overlap with the political system, and just in that little sliver there, we can use all the attention that's going to be devoted to the political system as a catalyst to spread these ideas, and maybe you know, we're the alternative. It's not just who you're going to vote for. It's like, are you going to vote at all? And then why would you even maybe not vote? And then think about that both from a moral and a efficiency arguments. I guess you can make the case.
Okay, let me ask you this. So if you had one issue that could be, because hey man, I'm all about bumper stickers. I'm all about t-shirts. I'm all about campaigns. I'm all about injecting whatever the heck it is that I want to advocate in my little area, whatever. And if it takes off and gets a lot of support, it explodes all over the place. That's what I do. Okay. What would I advocate? I mean, think about it. We got the Stop Wars thing over there. I like that. You know, it could be, you know, like I had my thing, Still Voting with the V for Vendetta.
Right.
Well, you know, I love that one.
That's
I'm like,
great.
You're still voting?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have so many different things. I mean, you know, Think Voluntarist or Vote None, you know, or something. I mean, you know, what if you had that one slogan, you got anything twirling around in your cortex there you'd like to see?
I mean, what we've been using often in our videos is just Google voluntarism, but I know that's clunky for some folks. So maybe just, you know, I vote for self-government or something like that, because you're you know, still talking their language about voting, but you're technically not using the system to vote. You're just speaking about in the mind of your own conscience.
Yeah, I don't know of one thing you could do. I mean, I love seeing, I mean, that's what's great about this movement of complete liberty and the anarchist, agorist, voluntarist, you know, making a presence. It's because everything is going on. There is no hierarchy. There isn't one guy that says our slogan for this year will be vote or die.
Oh, good point.
It's a multitude of things. There's Google voluntarism. There's you know, us over at Cop Lock, Liberty on Tour, you guys at Freedom's Phoenix, FreeKeen.com, and, you know, AntiWar.com. I mean, Strike the Root, you know, all of them that have their message, and they're all headed in the same direction down the sand to complete freedom, you know. Folks should get out there and check out libertyontour.com/advertisers. We have a bunch of great organizations that are on board with us that are all about the ideas of complete liberty, you know, and that's a good place to start.
You know, there is a great effect that you can have on a new mind. You know, at what age would you think that would be a good time for them? Is it junior high when they're starting to question authority? Is it high school? Is it college? Is it, you know, when are they most susceptible to the message?
I don't know. I think, you know, we've met a lot of people on the road and a lot of that do the unschool and homeschooling thing that are self-describing libertarians. And from day one, that, you know what I mean? You're taught that, you know, your actions have consequences. You're responsible for those, you know. I have a nephew at home back in Wisconsin, and, you know, you grab something, you know, it's not just yelling at the child. It's, you know, this is somebody's property, and you don't take somebody's property. Basically, a basic principle that people are taught, but that has libertarian characteristics in it. So it's never too young. I mean, I know up in New Hampshire, folks are doing outreach at middle schools. Sometimes they catch a lot of heat for that, holding up signs, like another advertiser of Liberty on Tour, SchoolSucksProject.com.
You know, there was a... When I went and spoke at the Liberty Forum last June, I talked about the power of the middle schools, of junior high, when they're starting to go through puberty and question authority. That's why they start doing social studies and government and everything then, because they want to get you're questioning the man. They just want to tell you how to question the man inside the box. Well, that kind of inspired some of those guys to go to the middle school. That's why they did that. And I'm going, look, this is when you go get them. You know, so, but I think you're right in where you're talking about the homeschooling from the beginning, because just recently, a month ago or so, my granddaughter, she was 11 months old, and she's playing with, I don't know, a remote or somebody's cell phone or something like that. And man, she got the first social concept, other than crying, you know, feed me, change me, whatever. It was freaking mine. Okay. And all of a sudden it hit me. I understand what they're trying to beat out of us. The concept of mine. Now we got to teach her the yours thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the property rights and so on. But I tell you, that's why they keep making it younger and younger. It's kindergarten, it's preschool, it's prenatal. I mean, you know, whatever. They want the government involved so that they can beat this mine thing out and replace it with sharing. That if nothing is yours, everything is everybody's. And it started to, I'm going, oh, I get it. Well, there's where my optimism comes from, because they have to spend tens of trillions of dollars over generations to get you through government schools and whatever else they're going to do, and propaganda and the lamestream media, the media that's so last century, and change us into a drone for the man. And I'm going, I don't think it's working. And with the internet, it totally screwed up their timetable. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. And while you guys are waiting on the next generator or somebody or more people to rise up, you were what I was waiting on. So I've had a lot of people in your position, and authors and documentarians that have done a lot of things, and they say, Ernie, I can't believe, I'm going, what, are you kidding me? You were what I was waiting on. You know, you are the solution. You are the cure. You in the audience, you are the solution. All you have to do is just advocate in your own life for a voluntary society. No force. And don't think that you can delegate some kind of a force to another entity that can do it for you, and somehow you're insulated. Oh, no, I'm not the bad guy doing it. I gave the shiny badge the authority to do it. Well, as long as they do it, then it's okay. No, it's not. Are you advocating for real freedom? Because if you're not, how are you going to deserve it yourself? I just want to make sure that we all deserve it by advocating for it. That's what we're doing. We hope you will too. Thanks for libertyontour.com with Pete Ayer and Adam Miller. Libertyontour.com, copblock.org.